Thank you for listening to the ALC Daily Podcast. Join us as we dive deep into personal stories, gain wisdom from Scripture, and be inspired by amazing guest interviews. Our goal is simple: to help you deepen your personal walk with Christ. At ALC, we believe that every person needs community that leads to encounters that cause growth. This podcast is one of the ways that we strive to help you become the hands and feet of Jesus in your everyday lives. Good morning and welcome to the ALC Daily Podcast. My name is Pastor Jared Pollard.
And it's Pastor Benjamin Davis.
And this is a special Friday episode. We're continuing our missions in May. And today we are joined by Dammy. Dammy, how's it going?
Good.
I'll let you say your whole name so that I don't butcher pronunciation.
I was wondering if you were going to take a shot at that.
I wasn't going to take a
no,
shot.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
So it is, this is Dammy Odunewu. You guys want to give that a...
No.
No, thank you. Okay. Okay. I didn't think I could do it justice, so I wanted to make sure.
You know, when we go to Cuba, I always ask the person's name before I pray for them, and then I try and repeat it back, and I butcher these horribly because I just have no reference at all. And so I try to find some English equivalent of it, you know, that is acceptable. It's just brutal.
And, you know, like with my last name, I always tell people, like, don't feel bad because even Nigerians can't say my last name. Like, they're not from my tribe.
That makes me say my last name. Wow, tribe specific.
Yeah. It's tribe specific. And if you don't, like, understand the language or don't know what it means, and our consonants and vowels are different in my tribe, so there are Nigerians who cannot say my last name.
That is so interesting that it's down to tribal specific. And that's crazy.
So you have your tribal language, and then what do you guys speak primarily?
Yoruba, but we have 371 tribes and over 500 languages.
That's a lot. But English is the overriding, in the common language, right, in Nigeria.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Yep. That's wild.
Yeah, there you go. Little culture, little geography in Nigeria. There you go. And we are advertising. We're in missions in May. We're taping this early, but we're advertising missions in May, where we have a goal to raise $45,000. $30,000 of which will go to the Surge Mission Project, which just plants churches all over the world, quite frankly, in places that we can't get to or don't want to get to.
Can you tell why we're giving 30 specifically?
Yeah. So the Surge Mission Project asked its lead partners, and ALC is a lead partner for the Surge Mission Project, where they're asking us to commit to $30,000 a year to fund their basic needs for their goals. They want to get to planting. They went from a church an hour to a church a minute. That's their goals. A very lofty goal. And what does one of those churches look like? It might look like 25 to 50 people meeting under a tree.
Yeah.
That then, if they get established enough, build a building. You know what I'm saying? But the goal is to get a pastor planted with 25 to 50 people. You know what I'm saying, and meeting somewhere on a regular basis. And so they want to be planting one of these a minute. It's crazy, and get down to one a second. And you say, well, is that even achievable? I think it is, because Surge Church Plant in Indonesia became big enough that it eventually developed the largest radio network in Indonesia, and through solar-powered radios, they're seeing one salvation per second through their ministry now.
Wow.
Yes, this is possible. It's hard to imagine, but it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the Surge Mission Project, and they do a better job of it than we could, so we just give. So ALC has committed $30,000, and we're trying to raise that. The other 15 we're raising for our mission projects. We love short-term mission trips, and we love to give, not just go. We love to give. Mm-hmm. So Dammy was part of a trip to Cuba where we just hauled in suitcases of stuff, and then we paid for a pastor's conference. I think that pastor's conference cost $6,000 to feed them, bring them in, all that kind of stuff. We paid for that in Cuba. That room was what, 300, 250, 300 people of pastors?
300.
Yeah. So we paid for that. So we want to have funds to pay for that. So that's our missions in May offering. We encourage you to give sacrificially for that. We have a $45,000 goal. Let's talk about your experience in missions. Let's start with you've been on two Cuba mission trips, right?
This was my second one.
Okay, mm-hmm. Second one. Can you tell us a little bit about what you experienced in this last one? I had a little fun with you. I mean, because you'd been on one, and I thought you were more experienced, and so I gave you what I knew was going to be a crowd of people. Tell us a little bit. What did you experience?
So what was interesting was let me just say I don't understand why you made the decision or you decided to. Make me like the deliverance person. I remember as that kept going, I was like, what is the deal? Like, did he see something? And it was just, and this is Dammy, and Dammy
I have an answer, but I'm going to let you finish. I have an answer why I do. Yeah.
And Dammy has a gift and an anointing for deliverance and delivering people from witchcraft. And I'm going, okay, no pressure. So that one got me for sure, but it was also a big challenge for me because I think for me, just anything witchcraft, I've historically just avoided, and I don't think that you knew that.
No, I didn't know that.
I've avoided because growing up in Nigeria, that was such a big part of some of the things that we faced.
Yeah.
Witchcraft is really, really, I mean, just rampant in Nigeria, and then you know people have their gods that they worship.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of like. In fact, I've never been to my hometown in Nigeria, and that's the reason that my mom and dad never took us back to our hometown. Mm. Not my mom, not my dad's. And so to come from an avoidance of witchcraft to being tagged the person with the anointing, I'm like, am I about to be sent back to Nigeria to deliver all the witches and the wizards? And so, but it was a challenge, and I took the challenge. And the first day, we were just praying over people, and I had the woman who couldn't walk and came up, and I think that honestly, that encounter happened because God was really trying to build my faith and to show me what He has anointed me to do. And I feel like it really changed my perspective, my approach, my faith level just kind of shot up after that experience. What happened with this woman was she couldn't walk. She had an injury from an accident, had been hospitalized for about 2 months. And as soon as I saw her coming up, I prayed for a few other people that were primarily deliverance prayers. And so I'm not really sure how she got directed to me, but I know just as soon as I saw her, I was like, do I have the anointing to heal this woman? And I immediately just got in my head, and she came up. I went for it with my translator, and my translator just kept crying. I'm not really sure what was happening with her. And then we got done praying, and this woman was like, well, all the pain from my waist down is gone. And I'm really excited. I'm like, oh, the pain's gone and all of that. And I'm content with just the pain being gone. And then she looks at the translator and she hands her crutch over to, because she was using a crutch, she hands it over to the translator. And I'm like, that wasn't part of my plan, but if you want to give this a shot, sure, let's do it. And so she could walk without having the crutch.
Yeah.
And then she disappears. And I'm looking around and going, did the healing really happen?
Yeah.
Where is this woman? So I get in my head again about it. So I go to my translator and I go, can you go find Clara for me? Like, can you bring her back? I need to confirm that she's healed. Well, she comes back. There's no crutch. She didn't come back with it. She's walking. And then literally through the end of the service, she just kept dancing. And I was like, okay, Lord, I see you. I hear you. I get it. I'm ready. let's do this.
Yeah.
So it really, really, like, even when I, what I was praying for deliverance or whether I was praying for healing, it was just my faith really just shot up after that one experience. And I actually had more deliverances than I had healings.
Yeah.
And I really think that it happened because I had that encounter.
This is a classic God tool. What I see God doing a lot is he'll give you an extraordinary encounter. Mm-hmm. And I like to say, well, the first one's on him.
Yeah.
But really, the extraordinary encounter is to see, do you want more?
Yeah.
And the next one's on you.
Yep.
If you want more, now you will press into what you experienced with the first miracle to say, God, I want more of that. Yeah. And then if you press in, the Lord says, well, I can partner with that. I wanted to see if you wanted more. Mm-hmm. And if you want more, well, let's show you more.
Yeah.
And so that's a classic God tool that he does to build our faith. Mm-hmm. And I totally identify with you. Sometimes you can see a miracle healing and then you wonder if your eyes played tricks on you. Right. And so you almost need proof that it really happened. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And that's why we verify as much as we're able to in those crowds. Yeah, yep. I love it.
Yeah.
Curious, do you see a difference between your first mission trip? Now, the church was different because we went from 250 to 300 people per meeting to about 1,000 people per meeting. But did you see a difference in your experience between the mission trips? And you've been to two mission trips in Cuba.
Yes. I would say that the first mission trip I was... Now, that first Cuba trip was really my, I don't know, maybe fourth, fifth missions trip overall.
Yeah.
But it was the first mission trip where I was just doing plain ministry and prayers and healings and deliverances that wasn't medical.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a newbie.
Yeah.
We had the first one in 2020. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I really didn't. In fact, I remember having that first mission trip. I remember getting cluster triggers from just the marathon of activities that we had and the sun and everything.
Yeah.
And I, you know, everything was happening, but it also felt like maybe the enemy was really trying to pull down my faith.
Yeah.
And he kind of did.
Yeah.
Cause you know, I ended up getting sick on one of those days and it it was like my faith kind of plunged.
Yeah. Right.
This time around, Not once did I feel like there was any. I felt like once I had that initial like just faith increase, it just kind of kept going up from there.
Yeah, yeah. And I should have said at the outset, Danny is our organizer of our medical mission trips to Honduras. She's done an amazing job of putting together what we don't feel equipped to put together. And this last year to Cuba, one of the great needs they have is anything relating to medicine. I mean, even Tylenol is an extraordinary gift to them because it's just, they can't get it.
Yeah.
So Dami was able to work to get us a couple tablefuls of medical supplies. All the way from
it was about 200 plus pounds.
200 pounds of medical supplies that we brought in that is gold to them, which, by the way, they're going to use that for an outreach on the other side of the island.
And so
that's gold to them. And Dami helped us get that. We hauled it in suitcases, but she helped us get that. And that was amazing. And she does the same thing in Honduras. Tell us a little bit about the Honduras medical mission trip that we took last year and what we hope to experience this year. You're the kind of the organizer of that side of things.
Yes.
Last year was our first attempt. So tell us what you saw.
Last year, you know, with Honduras, I feel like we were, for the first day, we were in learning mode. And then, but once we got into, you know, the mode, and it was like, we know what our setup is, we know how we can be effective,
yeah,
and how we can have, you know, people receive medical help, but also pair them up. I think one of the really neat things that we did was we paired a patient with a translator and a prayer partner.
Mm-hmm.
And that was we found that that really worked,
yeah,
because a patient did not at any point in time go to receive treatment without two other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just 3 full days of treating. I think it was over 600 people that, yeah, we saw in 3 days. And it was just you go to places like that and you just see how much of a lack that there is.
Yeah.
Even with things like multivitamins and, yeah, how people were like, they would give anything just to get access to that because they don't, yeah, have that there.
Right.
And so just to be able to be in a place where we're meeting people's needs where it matters, and, yeah, then that opens the door,
yeah,
for the real deal. It's, yeah, just amazing. So I'm just really, I'm looking forward to much more when we go again. And I think we're thinking October is when we'll go this year.
Yeah. So. And you play 2 different roles. In Cuba, you're a mission team member,
mm-hmm,
that where I say, if you need deliverance from demons, damn, he's got you. I mean, but in Honduras, it's you're more of the administrator, keeping, mm-hmm, the flow going,
yeah,
of making sure things are running smoothly,
yeah,
while we have other people that are assigned to make sure that people get miracle prayer,
yeah,
or salvation, yeah, after they get treatment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're flexible is what it really, yeah, comes down to, really, yeah, to fill these different roles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me close with this thing. Can you give people who've never been on a short-term mission trip, not everybody's going to go. I think people either ought to give or go.
Yeah.
Some people will give and go. Why do you think they're so important? Why do you think as Americans that short-term mission trips and giving and going both to foreign missions is super important?
I very much believe that there are things in life that we will not ever have the opportunity to experience until we get out and see what life looks like in other places.
Yeah.
And that is a huge, huge part of it. And just we talk about how much of a faith increase that we experience personally, being in position where we're trusting God to use us.
Mm.
I don't know that anybody ever goes into something like that and comes back the same.
Second person that said that. you're the second person that said that in these tapings.
You come back different.
Yeah.
Because you suddenly realize the role that you have to play,
yeah,
in the kingdom.
Right.
You go from, you know, yes, we come to church. Yes, we're, you know, we have our experiences here, but there's just something about being right in the middle of just an overflow of miracles.
Yes.
And being right at the forefront of that and just seeing it happen.
Mm.
And now it's almost like it kind of takes your sense of responsibility in the kingdom of God. It takes it to a whole different level.
Yes, it does.
And, yeah, that's, you know, and I'm still experiencing all of it. Like, yeah, I'm still having nights where I'm just lost in worship,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
and God's presence,
yeah,
and just,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dammy almost made me cry, so we're going to quit. Dammy, we really appreciate you coming in and, yeah, and sharing your heart with us.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. You can join us on Sundays at our South Campus at 9:30 and 11 a.m. and at our New Grain Campus at 11 a.m. For more information about ALC and our small groups, please visit our website at abundant.us.